Right. Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you for the blessing that we have in your presence. We ask you to guide us by your mighty, mighty Holy Spirit. Thank you for doing so many great things that are way beyond our imagination. You have lifted us high. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, dear Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Please close the door. Please close the door. We close the doors at the back. Now, the reward for hard work is more work. And I want us to, for just a few minutes before we close for the night, to see that the reason why God does not give us the rewards, other kinds of rewards, but rather chooses to bless us with more work, amen, is because, can somebody close the door at the back on the side, please? I need the door to be closed. Thank you very much. It's because it is not yet the end. That is the reason why God is choosing to reward us by giving us more work. Because it is at the end that the reward will change from more work to other types of rewards. Amen.
Amen.
So in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37, it says, Matthew 13 verse 37, it says, "And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Actually, if we started a little before, Matthew 13, all right, Matthew 13, all right, and it says in verse 37, "He that soweth the seed is the Son of Man." That is the parable of the tares of the field. All right, they asked him to tell them about the tares of the field, which is verse 24. "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. Now, the disciples came in verse 36 and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. All right? As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. Then the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Amen. Amen. Now, notice that he's saying that the end of the world, all right, is the harvest of men. All right, notice the field is the world, on verse 39, and the harvest is the end of the world. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, go ye and preach the gospel to the end of the world. Look, I am with you to the end of the world. All right? So the end of the world is where a certain end has come. And so until that time, your reward is not in the form of crowns and in the form of gold, silver, pleasure, and so on. But your reward is in the form of more work. Yes. More work. That is the kind of reward that you must expect in this era. And when this era is over, the reward will change. But the Bible is telling us that the harvest is the end of the world. Now, the harvest, all right, is something that God has also prepared for the end of the world. And that harvest is the great reaping of souls. Amen. Amen. The great reaping of souls. Now, I want to show you something that many people do not know. And you will see how fantastic it is. In Hosea chapter 6, it says, come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. After 2 days, he will revive us. Amen.
Amen.
Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, and as the latter and the former rain. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God comes to us in the form, or as the rain comes. So expect in your life God to come to you, all right, in a certain way.
Amen.
All right, and the certain way that he comes is in the form of as rain comes.
Amen.
Now, you'll not understand this until maybe you know a bit of what Israel is like. In Israel, they have the early rain and the latter rain. They don't have four seasons like you have here. There's no spring and autumn and all these things. It's just dry and rain. Like in Ghana, we don't have all these things. All right? It's very simple. It's raining or it's not raining. I mean, these are the two seasons. All right? Now, it's also very a little hard because it's dryish and a bit more deserty. So Israel is, that's why they developed this irrigation system, you know, because they don't have much of the rain. Amen. Now, the children of Israel, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Where, what I'm telling you is very interesting. Listen to it because you need it, especially if you're going to go to Israel. The children of Israel were being brought into Israel from Egypt. So in Deuteronomy 11, verse 10. Let's look at verse 10. Are there people outside who want to come in? I didn't say nobody should come in. I said close the door. I didn't say people shouldn't come in. All right. It says, the land where you are going to possess is not like Egypt. Now, the difference between Egypt and Israel is the River Nile. All right. And the River Nile is the source of water for Egypt. All right. So they actually had a little device which they used to receive water. Okay. But in Deuteronomy 11, verse 10, God was telling them, the land you are going to... Are you listening?
Yes.
I'm ending in the next 5 minutes. I'm not... Just listen. The land where you are going to possess is not as the land of Egypt, from whence he came out, where thou sowest thy seed. Okay, verse 11. I'm ending in 5 minutes, so just listen if you are interested. But the land where you're going to possess... It's a land of hills and valleys, and it drinks water of the rain of heaven. It drinks water from rain, which is not like Egypt. Egypt drinks water from the Nile. And they actually have some device that they use to take the water from the Nile. All right? Then in verse 12, it says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Verse 13. Very, very interesting. And it shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, to the commandments which I command you, to love the Lord your God and to seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. All right? Verse 14. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Now, the rain was given specifically to help to bring about a harvest. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So he said, I will give you the rain in its due season that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. Three harvests of Israel, always the same. Wheat or corn, oil from olive trees, and wine from the vines. So you hear these words, vine, olive, is the same three always. So the rain was given for a reason. And the rain is the Holy Ghost. And it is given for the harvest, specifically. So the first rain, or the former rain, would come around September. All right? And that is after a long time of dryness, and it softens the ground for them to plant. Then around Passover time, which is the next year, around Passover is Easter. You know, like where we have Passover or Easter. Around that time, then the latter rain comes, and that takes everything to the harvest. Are you with me? And the rain is always for a reason. So in between the former and the latter rain, there's hardly any rain. Occasional, here and there, but basically it is the former rain, is the main rain that comes and starts the process towards the harvest. Are you with me?
Yes.
And Matthew 13 verse 39 says, the harvest is the end of the world. Now, at the end, at the former, the latter rain comes. And when the latter rain comes, you are getting towards the end and towards the harvest. Now, since Jesus came, right, there has been one major outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that was on the day of Pentecost. That's the major outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Since then, there has been no major outpouring of the Holy Spirit until 1904, Azusa Street, where there was the major pouring of the Holy Spirit again into the earth, something that affected the whole world. Nothing has affected the whole world again. Only the Pentecost one, the first one, affected the whole world and the whole church. And since then, nothing has affected everybody, and nothing has been so huge till 1900. Then we had Holy Ghost and tongue speaking released into the world, and Azusa revival was something that happened for the whole world. Since then, it gave rise to all the Pentecostal denominations that we know. Pentecostal holiness, Pentecost, apostolic churches, Church of God in Christ, Assemblies of God. Everybody is from 1904. 1900 actually was the first January 1900 was when the Holy Ghost came on a Bible student. But it was 1904 that it went into the Azusa thing. So in the history of the church, we are looking at two major outpourings that have happened prophetically. An early one, and then a latter one. And notice Deuteronomy 11 verse 14. It says, the Lord will give you the former rain and the latter rain that thou mayest gather. And there's a reason for the harvest, the reason for the rain, the reason for the Holy Ghost is one reason, harvest. You see, and there are two types of Christians, Derek Prince said, those who know the reason for the rain and those who don't know the reason for the rain. That the Holy Ghost is not given to fall, to scream, to just be happy, to speak in tongues, to just have a good time, but is given only for one reason, for harvest, for salvations and soul winning. Yes, it's the only reason for the rain. Look at it. I'll give you the rain of the land in his due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn. And when you read Matthew 13, 39, Jesus said, the harvest is the end of the world. That's the end of the world. Look at it and see. The harvest is the end of the world. The end of the world, like Jesus said, ends with the gospel being preached to the last corners of the world. That is the end. He says, then the end shall come. And there he's saying that the harvest is the end of the world. So the last thing that is going to come on, it are not the wars and the rumors of wars and all those things, they will be there. But the major thing which is going to happen at the end is going to be a major harvest. Amen. major pouring of the Holy Spirit, which has already happened, and a major harvest, which has been happening since then, of the world. And I believe that even is going to involve a lot of the countries, other countries with other religions, and a major salvation, not really by preachers, you see, but by a more supernatural intervention. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying. Yes. So the reign of the Spirit brings us to the end of the world. And it is because we are not at the end of the world, and that end of the world is always marked by, it's going to be marked by harvesting. Yeah, the harvest is the main thing. So this end of the age is going to be marked by our commitment to evangelism and soul winning and church building and church work. I'm telling you, you may not, it doesn't matter what you believe or what you think or what whether you like it or not. As for what God is doing, he's doing it anyway. You don't have to be involved. It will be done. You don't have to give. It will be done. You don't have to do anything because you and I are nothing. Yes, God doesn't need you. You need God. You need to be involved with God. But God doesn't need you for any particular thing. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Yeah. So the reward for hard work is to be given more of the work. And not all these crowns and all these things are also existing as rewards. But because the end hasn't come, the reward we are getting now is to be given more and more and more jobs to do. Do this. Do this. It's more giving you more legal reasons to be at the highest level in the next era, which is to come. Amen. And when you step outside here, you see Jupiter in the sky there. You can see why the astronomers and the astrologers and the ancient world noticed Jupiter, because it's much, much, much bigger than a star. Much, much, much bigger than a star. Much, much, much bigger. I mean, like about 20 times or 30 times or 40 times the look of it. It's right here, just outside here. Very, very clear. When I put my phone on it, when I put my phone on it, you see straight away showing you that it's Jupiter. Yeah. It's amazing. So, the harvest is something that is, you know, James chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain," which are the two events that bring about the harvest. All with the precious fruit is brought about by the early and the latter rain, which caused harvest to come. And the only reason why it comes is to bring in the harvest. And God told the children of Israel, the land you are going to is not like Egypt, where we get water from the Nile. It is a different one. It comes from heaven. And you receive the early one and you receive the latter one. And these, the combination of these two bring about the harvests that God wants to bring about in the earth, in the natural, and also in the spirit world and in the world of souls and the world and the currency of souls. Are you with me? Which is what matters to God. These two events, or the event and the presence of the Holy Spirit, is what shows you that the harvest time has come. And God's power comes on the church. And that power comes on the church to bring in the harvest. Yes. You see Acts 1:8? You see Acts 1:8? Read it. Put it there. Acts 1:8. It says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost," so after the reign of the Holy Ghost comes, "and then you will be my witnesses." You start harvesting and bringing people to God. in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost part. You see that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is one. Only one purpose. All these other things we're doing, you know, where we have conventions, churches, programs, and it's like always bless me, touch me, anoint me, receive something, do this, do whatever. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit is for something else. It's almost like to have some kind of a bless. Derek Prince said a bless me club. You see, there are two churches. One is that the Holy Spirit is given to make themselves a bless me club. But he said that is not at all the reason why the Holy Spirit is given. Being given. The Holy Spirit is being given to, that is it, for to be witnesses and for salvations and blessings, salvation harvests in the world. That is it. There's no other person. There's no other paper. I mean, it is written there. Why is the power being given to us? What is it written? What is it for? Witnesses. Witnessing. And so the church here in America is important for us to rise up. If we say you have the Holy Spirit, I don't know whether you have another spirit. But if you have the Holy Spirit that I know of, you will turn into, you see, we have to believe when God is showing us the right way. Into a soul winning machine. Yes, a soul winning machine. A group of harvesters. A combined harvester. Yes. A huge organism that is into harvesting. The same harvest. And the same harvest. You see them being repeated. I'll give you the corn, the oil, and the wine. The corn, the oil, and the wine. The corn, the oil, and the wine. Deuteronomy 11 verse 14. All right? What does it say? I will give you the rain of the land in his due season, not all the time. And so you see that, you know, this is seasonal. And there's a time for all these things. And at the right time, when the season comes, Deuteronomy 11 verse 14, that thou mayest gather in. Thou mayest gather in. So if I stand and I declare there is an outpouring of the Spirit on you, there is a reason that thou mayest gather in. Yes. Yes. We have jobs already. We are already educated. We have things to do. It's not, we are not looking for a job. It's not something to create a job for people. No, the Holy Spirit didn't come upon me to give me a job or some kind of employment with a salary. He came upon me, and the Holy Spirit upon me makes me turn into a soul-winning machine. It's the presence of the Spirit that leads me to always the harvest. It's rather the sign of the Spirit. You know, let's go by the real signs and stop inventing things. You know, that are the Holy Spirit. It's not the Spirit. Real Holy Spirit, any minister. You know, I heard Bishop Oyedepo say, you know, that you don't win souls. The Spirit has departed from you. You don't have the Holy Spirit. And it is true. Anathema. You don't have, because this is the reason for the Spirit. No soul winning. You are any pastor, I don't care your topic. How great people come to you, whatever, church, whatever. The Holy Spirit doesn't come on us to fight gays or fight, what do you call it, abortion or fight whatever. It's to win souls. It is written there. And winning souls is the thing to do, to plant churches, harvest people, teach them, establish them in God. That is Christianity. Yes, anything else. It's not wrong in that sense, but it is not what is written that we are reading. Yeah, it's not what is there. And there is a time that God expects us to do certain things for him. And when we don't do them, we are setting up ourselves for judgment. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. He that sleepeth, a son who sleeps during harvest time, is a son that causeth shame. You are a shame to Christianity, and a shame to the church, and a shame to the name Jesus Christ. Where it, in harvest time, you are rather sleeping. You are a shame to the body of Christ. And a lot of large sections of the body of Christ are in shame and are a shame. Yes. Harvest time. You are sleeping. And you it's like every meeting with you has to stir you up. We can't talk about the harvest itself. We have to spend half of the time, or more than half of the time, raising you from the dead. Because there are some people, when you sleep, you are like you are dead. It's amazing. So, God is telling us today, the reason why we are not, the reason why the reward for the hard work that has already been done is more work, is because it's not the end. The end, Matthew 13:39 is telling us the end. Matthew 13:39. The enemy that soweth them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. Very clear. The harvest is the end of the world. Huh? And the reapers are the angels. There's going to be a lot of supernatural activity for salvation to come. I mean, you now look at the people. You see that a lot of supernatural things happen for people to be saved. Supernatural activity. There will be a lot of stirrings in the heavens. And supernatural conversions and turning away of people from hell. Lot of supernatural. Lot. The reapers are the angels. Are you listening?
Yes.
So harvest time is the end of the world. And all of us must have in our minds the great reality that God is calling us to harvest his souls and do his work. Yeah. And not to focus on ourselves. Looking at yourself will only lead you far from God. You see, looking at your financial problems will lead you far from God. Looking at your marital problems will lead you far from God. Looking at your real situation will lead you far from God. Because you will say, me, when I look at myself, me, I don't have any, I cannot do this. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. The first mistake they made was to look at themselves. When they look at themselves, what am I saying? Chele, let's go to the back of the church now. And they moved to the back. The Bible said they hid amongst the trees. They hid amongst the trees. And they did that because they looked at themselves. Before, they were never looking at themselves. They were themselves, but they were not looking at themselves. Looking at yourself is what makes you exclude yourself from the things.
Come on.
Yes. As soon as Adam and Eve looked at themselves, they said, Charlie, to the back. Eve, let's go.
Beautiful.
Charlie, to the back. And the next moment, they were out of God's presence. They were no more close to God. They were no more flowing with God. They no more were involved in the work of God. God had left them there to name the animal. They looked and they hid themselves. No more presence of God. Yeah. So as I come here and I preach to you, there are a lot, most of us are looking at ourselves. Most of us are looking at our, when we say we are raising $1 million, most of us are looking at ourselves. When I look at myself, I don't see no $1 million nowhere near my life. When we say go into the all the world, you look at yourself and say, me, I don't see how I'm going to go nowhere. As I've come here, I'm even tired. I can't even know how to move myself. I don't know where I'm going to go to no world. I don't see myself going to no world anywhere. Yes, even to come to Orlando was not easy. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. You cannot relate with somebody, you say, I love you, and the person, are you sure? Why? Are you sure? Do you really think so? Are you sure? No, God was coming to love this same Adam and Eve, but they were now looking at themselves. There are many pastors who, when I come around, they go away. They don't come close to me because they look at themselves and they feel that, oh, I've not gone to no world. If I have gone to any world to preach the gospel, I could have come nearer to Bishop. You see? But they look at themselves and have a mind that, oh, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not so, Charlie, I don't qualify for no whatever. That is it. So each time you look at yourself, you start walking backwards. Even you, nobody will say, you just start sliding backwards away from everybody else and away from where you ought to be. Are you with me?
Yes.
And in the end, instead of becoming the person you ought to become, you know, Flo, I pray you never have a relationship with somebody who is that way. I mean, I pray for you that your relationships, whether marriage, whatever, you will not have such people. You can't relate with them. You can't relate. I've learned not to chase such people. When I love you, I like you, you say, oh, I don't. I say, oh, it's true, I don't. Go. I mean, I don't, whatever. Yeah, because you'll be tired. It's too long. The meetings are too long just to explain, so I like you, I love you, or whatever. It's difficult. You don't love me. I say, I love you. You don't love me. I love you. Okay. I don't love you. Go. I don't love you. Go away. It's okay. Yeah. It's tired. We are tired. Yeah. It's very tiring. Very difficult. And always remember, you know, all these things are real. When the person says, I'm not what, it's true. Don't go near the person. Say, oh, I'm not this. I don't like. It is true.
Okay.
Avoid the person like the plague. To never follow somebody who is. This, I don't like, I love you. So, are you sure you love me? I don't love you. Go away, please. Yes. I'm giving you advice. It's a prophetic word. Yeah. Stop struggling. You can never be happy with such people. It's better you just move away, break up, and just go away. Yes. Just go your separate ways. So, I love you. So you don't love me. So I love you. So, sit down. Say, so, oh, I'm going. You know, okay, go. Yeah, open the door. Well, bye-bye. Yes. Every day. It's always something like this, something. We can't see what you are saying. We are not Jesus. Jesus knows everything. We don't know everything. One person that we are relating, we have to know so many things. We have to have word of knowledge. What you say, we have to be wise. Look, how could Jesus know that that person was a wicked servant? It's by the power of God. Yeah. He said, I've kept your thing. I've not lost even one piece of the talent. Here it is. I kept it. I put it in a safe place. Not, I didn't leave it in the open for anybody. I kept it for you. I put it in a napkin. I preserved it. Here it is. And Jesus saw it and said, put it, you wicked. You are a wicked man. Wicked man. And so it takes revelation to be able to see through the self-righteous cloaks and veils that people have over themselves. If you are not very, very clever, you can't prosecute and you can't penetrate and work through it. Yeah. So, I tell you, God is giving us the opportunity as we harvest. This is the last point. The last point of the activities on this earth. We are going to work for God because the end has not yet come. And as the end comes, that is it. Then the reward is going to change. It's not going to be more work in that sense. I mean, unless there's work in heaven. If there's work in heaven, we just go continue working. But right here on earth, it's more work. More work. And Adoniram Judson, when he was about to die, he made a point to his wife. He said, number one, I'm not tired of life. And then number two, I am not tired of my work that I'm doing. I'm not tired. Because you see, when you know that it's a blessing. He died 57 years old. Yeah. 57, I think it was. He said, I'm not tired of my work. I'm not tired of it. I've suffered, I've been, but I'm not tired of the life, and then number two, the work that I'm doing. Because you know that the work you are doing is the gift from God to work for Him. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not tired at all. Are you tired?
No,
no, I'm not tired. Yeah. I'm ready to work more for God. Yes. And nobody here should be tired. When you are tired, as soon as you start saying those, making those comments, you see that you start dying. Yes. I'm afraid of that comment that you say, I'm tired. I don't like saying, even when I'm tired, I feel like saying I'm tired. I don't want to say that I'm tired because it's something that Elijah said, and then God said, oh, you are tired. You are tired of my work. And I say, oh, there's a guy called Elisha. Go and see him here. There's this guy, there's this guy, this guy. Don't know, you were replaced. It's true. So all tired people, get ready to stop work and get ready to, bring another person for your replacement to come. You see your replacement, Bia, you'll be shocked. Yeah. So you must be like Adoniram Judson and say, I am not tired of this life and I'm not tired of this work that I'm doing. Yeah. Amen. And I believe that as you do that, God Himself will greatly bless you and greatly increase us. So we are going to continue to focus on His instruction. Yes. And I tell you, if you were to ask me that what advice can I give you, I would say the advice I can give you is to focus on, as a lawyer, a doctor, a pharmacist, a student, and whatever. In America today, I just come to your house, I open the door one day and I see you in your house. And you say, good morning, how are you? Is there anything you can say? Any message from God? So only one thing, focus yourself on God's work and what Jesus told human beings to do. And do what Jesus told human beings to do. This is my advice for you. It will be the best advice. His last word, it's not for apostles, it's for Christians. That's what I would do. I tell you. And if you ever met a practical person, you've met me. Oh, yes. I believe in God and supernatural things. And where it has practical things, I go. If, let's say, our crusade convoy and the trial, we don't just say, we pray God take care of us and so on. No. We believe it. And we really believe that is what is working. But we still take the drivers through whatever, this accident, different types of accident with videos, this accident caused by this one, when you park here, this accident happened, this is how to do it. You will not see me as like some ethereal person in a cloud. I don't look at practical things. No, that's not how I am. At all, then you don't know me. And I'm telling you, a very practical person is talking to you and telling you that if you were to ask me one practical advice in this human life that I should give you, just only one thing, I will say to you, look, what Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel and go to every nation and every creature and teach them. This is the most practical thing for an architect, a pharmacist, or a doctor, or any teacher, or any professional in any capacity as a carpenter, or any work you do, a pastor, or whatever. What Jesus said to do, that is what you should do. This is the only advice I will give you. And you are hearing it from somebody who is, and you say, when I say that I'm a practical person, then you don't know me. You don't know what it means to be practical. Oh, yes. And it's not just saying that, oh, yes, God will do something. I believe God is the one doing it. I really believe in that. But it's not just, I don't learn, I say, I'm going to do exam, I learn more. Dr. Nosh was sleeping in my bed. 6 weeks, he was sleeping in my bed, I never slept in it. Yes, he's standing here, he can tell you whether it is true or not. He was the one in the bed. You see me walking up. I believe God today. I wrote even certain letters. I wrote their names in my Bible to praise a certain psalms over them. That's how spiritual I am. But when it comes to the learning, you see me learning very wild. Yeah. Practically. It's not that I just say this, whatever. No. I have exam questions in my pocket as I'm walking. Yes.
Teach us.
So when I tell you, I'm telling you something that is so practical, so real, so much, so real and practical for your life, for your health, for your future, for everything about you. That what Jesus said, never set it to the side or think that it is somebody's duty to those apostles or some zealous, super spiritual people should go to the nations of the world and do what and what. Yeah, listen to me. Listen to it carefully. Yeah, and it is a command to us, not to somebody somewhere. It is us. And through that, everything else will practically work itself out. Yes. I believe it. I believe it. And you are not talking to somebody. There are people that they don't know. They don't know law. They don't know this. They don't know this. They don't know so many things. No, not me. I know law, I know medicine, I know security, I know this, I know many things. You can hear it when I'm preaching, I know so many things. Yeah, why do I know the many things? I'm telling you about Jupiter. We are here, I'm showing you Jupiter is outside. I'm telling you about Jupiter. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word today, tonight. We thank you for bringing us to this camp meeting. Thank you for leading us in the way that we should go. And we believe that your power is changing our lives. And that what you have told us to do, to be sons that will not bring shame to our Father. Help us, Lord, here in America to really follow on to know you in a very special way. We give you thanks, Father. And as we come to the end of today's session, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is leading us to the next phase, leading us to the next chapter of this great ministry, both in America and outside America. Thank you. You are blessing us. You have blessed us. You are leading us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All right. Please sit down. Now, as we are here, we are closing for tonight, but before we are going to take an offering.
Amen.
Amen. How many of us believe that it is good that we are receiving offerings for Healing Jesus coming? So I'm raising funds for Healing Jesus Crusade. I'm asking you to give to it. And I said it before because I didn't want to be a, it's a camp and then I'm whatever. And it's the normal camp even, but I still say it because I don't want you to have any funny ideas. So